Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Women's Magazine. I'm Kate Raphael. As I expect most of you are aware by now, Yuri Kochiyama died last Sunday at the age of 93. In my activist circles, Yuri was nearly as well known as Maya Angelou. So I've been surprised in the last week how many of my friends hadn't heard of her. She was best known as the person who was standing next to Malcolm X when he was assassinated and cradled him in her arms in a photo that became iconic. But as Claire Byard of Catalyst Project wrote on her Facebook wall last week, she was far, far more than that. Yuri Kochiyama was a fierce advocate for every form of social justice.
One of the groups who's always supported political prisoners, but who have been the most political, are the, lesbians and gays and, you know, the queer nation.
Affirmative action, immigrant rights, sovereignty for Hawaiians, police brutality, fight against homophobia, fight against racial violence, against the unjust U.S. blockade of Cuba. Today, one of the most important issues and long ignored is the support for political prisoners right here in USA.
A 2009 film by C.A. Griffith and H.L.T. Kwan called Mountains That Take Wing documents her decades-long activist friendship with scholar and activist Angela Davis.
People in the movement sustain each other. It's because their spirit is so contagious.
But I think you're one of those people whose spirit is contagious.
Mary Yuriko Nakahara grew up in San Pedro, California, where she was said to be the first girl elected to student council. She played sports and wrote a sports column for the local newspaper and eventually went to study journalism at Compton Community College. After September 11, 2001, when the FBI came nosing around anti-war and Muslim communities in the Bay Area, Yuri was one of the first to stand up and say no to scapegoating and demonization of a community. At many an event in those days, she shared the story of her father's arrest immediately after the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
I was the only one home. My father had just come back from the hospital the day before. He had surgery. 11 o'clock in the morning, Sunday it was. I didn't know who they were, but as soon as they knocked on the door and I opened the door, they put up their, ID that they were from the FBI. And then they asked where my father was, and I said, well, he's sleeping, he's not feeling well. But they just went in, told him to put on his slippers and bathrobe, and they took him out. We didn't know where.
Her father was released after 3 weeks, but while in custody, he had been denied medical care for an ulcer, and he died days after his release. Yuri's family was sent to a concentration camp in Arkansas. She organized other women to write letters to Japanese-American U.S. soldiers and was released in 1994 to work in a USO center in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
I knew about the South and the racism, but not one black soldier came to our USO. USO is open to anybody. I lived on Main Street in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I never saw a black person walk down Main Street. You know, we got out of camp and then I went to New York and my first job was chock full of nuts. And all the workers are black except for the managers who are white. And there were two guys who said they trained at Camp Shelby and went overseas. But I said, I want to ask you something here. And he said, why didn't any black soldiers come to our USO? One guy, the first guy, said, well, where were the USO? I said, most of them were on like Pine Street. He said, no black soldier could walk on any main drag in Mississippi. And I said, you mean you're wearing your uniform, you're training to go overseas, and you're going to go overseas, and you cannot walk in any, you know, main street in Mississippi. I don't know. I didn't know about the rest of the South, but I guess most of the South is the same.
After the war, Yuri and her new husband, Bill, moved to Harlem and went to a freedom school across the street to learn about the community where they were living. It was there, after being arrested at a demonstration against employment discrimination, that Yuri met Malcolm X. She wangled a handshake with him and began a friendship that she said changed her life. She took her kids to protest the Vietnam War and supported the Black Panthers and the Puerto Rican Nationalist Liberation Organization, Young Lords. In the 1980s, the Cochiamas helped organize the movement that ultimately won reparations for Japanese American survivors of the internment camps. 2 decades later, she brought her expertise on the reparations issue to the movement to win reparations for the so-called comfort women forced into sexual slavery by the Japanese Army during World War II.
These victims, insultingly called the comfort women, were not mentioned in the Tokyo Tribunal because Japan and the United States conspired to shelf this issue. We must force or shame Japan to give reparation to these women whose lives they destroyed.
According to her biographer, Diane Fugino, Yuri did not consider herself a feminist, but she was committed to all liberation. I did not know her well, but the last time I saw her was at an International Women's Day brunch a few years ago. It was a fundraiser for the late political prisoner Marilyn Buck. I was wearing a patch with a kind of prose poem that you might have seen on it, listing the reasons that many of us are in the women's liberation movement. As I passed her chair, Yuri tapped me on the shoulder and asked where she could get a copy of that text. She gave me her friend's email to send it to her, which I did. To me, Yuri Cochiama was emblematic of the principle that it's our obligation to be as revolutionary as we possibly can by opening our hearts to everyone around us and refusing to sacrifice our demands for what's right on the altar of what's expedient, popular, or possible. Someone else who exemplifies that principle of no compromise is queer writer and activist Yasmin Nair. Originally from Kolkata, India, Yasmin now lives in Chicago by way of Indiana. I'll speak with her when we come back. Stay tuned.
Seen a soul Japanese lady with a sticker on a rocker said, free Mumia, and this was before the Trustafarians were saying it, taking it for granted that we talk about the 60s and never get to talk to anybody who done lived it. She still exists, or better yet, she still resists speaking to a myriad of young, dumb, and ignorant kids. I was one of them. When I grow up, I want to be just like Yuri Cochiama. Holla, swear to my kasamas. When I grow up, I want to be just like Yuri Cochiama.